Wouldn't it be cool if you could just trust in your innate gifts, know how you were structured to thrive, and build the business of your dreams by just following the call of your soul? Yeah, well, we think so. And our guest today has been helping us do just that for the past year. So welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast. We are Dawn and Elisa, and we are here to help anti-establishment thought leaders and holistic wellness visionaries get expanded on how to build and align an abundant business by expressing their unique essence with more clarity, courage, and conviction. This world needs you to follow that call so you can rise up into the limitless possibilities that you never even knew you could dream of. So let's go.
Welcome back. This week, we had such a beautiful, uplifting, enlivening conversation with our fave spiritual coach, Kara Nicole Bitar. It's no secret, Dawn and I have been working with Kara for most of the last year, and she's really helped us transform so many aspects of our lives. And in this podcast episode, she talks about how she transformed literally every aspect of her life by leaning into the truth of who she is, the truth of who you are. That's one of Kara's phrases. She is a lawyer, Kara Nicole Bitar, JD by trade, or was an attorney, and tells us her really astonishing and amazing journey of leaving corporate law behind to pursue truth and natural law. And we talk about the efficient and effective path to standing in your truth as a business owner, to creating more energy and more conditions for thriving in your life, her idea of what abundance really is, how good can you feel, how good can life get, really asking yourself those questions instead of like, how can I just survive? And Kara's really like beautifully, but like softly disruptive idea of like how to question a lot of programming of society so that you can feel really good and know without a doubt yourself and your unique structure. So we think she is looking at things so differently than pretty much anyone I've ever met, we've ever met. And we're so excited to share her wisdom with you today. Hello and welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast. This week, we are so delighted because we have Kara Nicole Bitar with us. And she has been an amazing catalyst in both of our lives the past year. And now we get to share her magic, medicine, and expertise with you. So thank you, Kara, for being here. And we usually start off with this question. Do you have a spiritual practice? And is there anything you'd like to tell us about it?
Thank you, first of all, so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. And that I know both of you, that we have come together is just such a testament, really, to what my life has become. And I just have to say that I love that before we started, Dawn, you led us through some breathing work. I'm just like, this life is so magical to me now that I'm here and experiencing this, because my life was so different before. And if we started every meeting in life with breath work, we would be in a very different experience. So thank you so much for doing that. And I'm just so happy to be here with both of you. It just feels so amazing. Okay. So then you asked me a question. What's a spiritual practice? Is that what you asked me? So for me, my practices, they vary. It's not like I just have one practice that I do. I teach Kundalini yoga. I do Kundalini yoga, but I don't have this like specified routine that I do. And there's a reason for that. It's because one, I'm a variable person. And so what I do changes. And two, the biggest practice I have is I follow the knowing I hold within. I follow that day in and day out. I follow it in everything that I do in every moment of every day. And so what that leads me to and what that guides me to, that differs and that varies. And so it's not like I have this one practice that I've, you know, have done for, I don't know, like every day or something. The practice really that I that I live and breathe by is following this internal knowing that I have. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, some people are like, I'm on a spiritual journey, right? And I'm kind of like, you know, if you're in this experience, like you're on a spiritual journey. You just might not know it, right? You just might not be, you know, and you might not be embracing it. But I feel like in life generally, it's like we're constantly given opportunities to be and express the truth of who we are. And so that really is my spiritual practice. I take this life and I take what I'm living and I take every day. And it's like, what is it that I'm guided to do in this moment at this time?
I love it. Be and express the truth of who you are. And that wasn't always the case in your life, right? And you sort of had, hinted towards that in saying like, oh, thanks for the breath work to start on. And for anyone listening, Elisa and I just got off a big call and now we're on this call and I'm like, oh, we need to come here. We can't be there anymore. So I just loved like a short breath work practice. And yeah. Kara, can you tell us a little bit, just like a, you know, Cole's note version of your life and what it was like before you started following the truth of who you are versus what it feels like now?
Yeah. So I planned and prepared my whole life to be an attorney. I decided in fifth grade that I wanted to be an attorney. I like wore like Harvard sweatshirts around. Elisa, you, I didn't end up going to Harvard, but Elisa, you might, maybe we have something in common there. I literally had Harvard sweatshirts that I wore around in like fifth grade. And yeah, so I did all the things to become an attorney. I it was all the like highest honors and then summa cum laude in college. And then I went to Duke Law on an academic scholarship. I published while I was there in a law journal. And then I was recruited by and I took a job with one of the largest law firms in the Southeast doing high stakes corporate litigation. And in addition to doing that work, I also did a lot of pro bono work for victims of domestic violence. And I was eventually named head of that project at our firm, which was quite significant project. And so basically I accomplished, however you want to say it, every single thing that I thought that I wanted. And if you were to look at my life on paper, it looked perfect. Like I had this prestigious job. I was making a lot of money. I felt respected by my colleagues. Like, you know, it took me a while to really understand how do I be a good attorney to gain that respect. I felt respected by them. I felt appreciated. I was doing very significant legal work in addition to work that I think a lot of people would say would carry a lot of meaning with the pro bono work that I did. And I had this beautiful home in the city that we like remodeled and it was just, everything was perfect, right? I had this beautiful wardrobe and I would even, you know, I grew up in a small town. And so I was working at this big firm and like, I'd walk into this big office building every day, kind of like, wow, like I'm here. And I did this, right? So on paper, like it was like everything looked perfect and I had everything that I thought that I wanted and everything that I had worked so hard for. And so I get all of this and I am like deeply unhappy, like deeply, deeply unhappy and deeply unfulfilled. And even like, it's like, I'd have moments of like, you know, I'd have a client who really thanked me or something, like moments of like, oh, nice. Like, that's great. Right. But ultimately I was deeply unfulfilled, like deeply unhappy. And it was kind of confusing. Like, how can I have everything that I thought I wanted? How can I have everything that everybody told me was going to make me so happy, right? And be so deeply, deeply unhappy. Like, this wasn't like a little, this was like a deep, deep unhappiness. And so, you know, I tried all sorts of things to like make myself happy. And I did all sorts of like, I should be happy. And why can't I be happy? And what's wrong with me? Am I just a miserable person? Right? Like all the things, right? And eventually I got to the point where it was like, something has to give here. Like something has to change. I don't know exactly what it is, but at the time my job was like the biggest thing in my life. And so I made the decision to leave that job. And I also made the decision to leave that job without any sort of plan. And so this is something that I really don't know if anybody at the firm I worked for has ever done, because at the firm, like, they're very well connected. It's a very good job. I had a great resume. So a lot of times people are unhappy in that position. The firm will just like, we'll help you get another job. Where do you want to work? Right? Like, well, we'll help you get something else. And I didn't do that. I was like, I'm going to leave. And I had no idea what I was going to do after I left. And so that's really like, I left that job without a plan. And I really then stepped into this new experience. And it was certainly like a journey. It didn't happen overnight. But what happened is when I left that job, I didn't know what I was going to do. And after I left that job, believe it or not, I actually felt worse than when I was in it. It was like any sense of worth and value that I thought I had left. And it didn't, like, it wasn't like, oh, but you did it. And so you did it and you left of your own volition. So there should be something, none of it. It was like every shred of worth and value I thought I had just like went out the window when I left that job. And so I made the decision that I was going to find answers. Like, could I have a different experience of life? Was there a different experience of life? And I really didn't know. I didn't know at the time if there was. And the mantra that kept coming to me and that I kept telling myself during that time was, I let go of everything, I hold on to nothing, and I choose the truth. And I didn't know what the truth was. And I even told myself, like, if the truth is like that we are like in, like, we're puppets and like purple elephants around the world, like whatever it is, I was like, I want to know it. I want to know what the truth is. Is there something more or isn't there? One way or the other, I want to know. And so that really, then I embarked on this journey of, can I have a different experience of life? Is that available?
Well, that was courageous of you. And also, like, sounds slightly frightening or like really frightening in some ways to me. I want to like go back to the beginning. When you were in grade 5 and you decided you were going to be an attorney, what made you want to be an attorney, you know, as like an 11-year-old?
So this is a great question. So if you'd have asked me that a number of years ago, I would have said, you know, I'd have had good answers for that. Like, oh, you know, it's a good job. It's helping people. It's whatever, right? But I ultimately know why I decided to do that. And it actually came from me believing that I had no innate worth and value and that I needed to become something and that I needed to somehow prove myself. And in the world that I grew up in, the worthy and noble professions were doctor and lawyer. Like, those were the worthy, noble professions that, like, in this kind of the world that I grew up in. And so I picked lawyer, really. And like, again, like, if you'd have asked me a few years ago, I'd have probably given you a different answer, but that's really what had transpired there.
So this is interesting to me in this whole like softpreneur light, because I have this like feeling that a lot of us choose our goals, even as like healing practitioners or, you know, spirit led business women, we choose our goals in order to give ourselves some sense of worth outside of ourselves, right? Even like these like 10K months, six figure years, I need to hit seven figures to be worthy. Or like business coaches who are like, I'm a seven figure business coach, which I like respect. I don't have a problem with that at all. But it's like this idea that our worthiness only exists when it's like, when it's proven outside based on like societal constraints and restrictions or beliefs. And that like we have it when we're 11, right? Or maybe even younger. I remember the first thing I wanted to be, and I was never going to be this, was a figure skater. But it was like 5 or something. And I'm like, I'm from the north. And I was learning how to skate in West Edmonton Mall, which is like this, used to be the biggest mall in the world. And people were watching me. And when they saw me and they said to my mom, they're like, oh, which one's your daughter? And my mom was like, oh, that one. And they're like, oh, you're such a beautiful soul. Because I looked like I had like many learning developments because I was like such a bad skater. Like I was, you know what I mean? And I feel like at that point, as like a 5-year-old, what I liked liked about figure skaters were like the beauty in the Olympics and the way that they seemed like they were flying. But like shortly after, I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer, 100%, right? And then an actress, right? And so I think all of these things for me, and I don't know if this is the same for you, Elisa, but besides the like wanting to be a figure skater because it was beautiful and they got to wear cool costumes and my mom and I would watch them do like throws and flips and stuff. After that, like early childhood of I want to create beauty with my body, I like moved into like, I want to be professional and well regarded. Yeah. So I betcha that you aren't alone in that. And I'm not alone in that. And yeah, Elisa, do you want to share a little bit about like maybe your childhood? What did you want to be?
Yeah, it's so interesting because it's funny, like actually having worked with Kara, like reflecting on some of those first childhood impulses versus like the later ones, like when we have these ideas. So I think one of them must have had to do with clothes because dress up was like extraordinarily sacred for me as a 5-year-old. And we had like the dress up box and that turned into acting later. But like, I think earlier it was almost more to do with design. I did want to be an interior designer at 12. So I still had some like holdouts of the creative career. But yeah, it's funny because some of those very visual impulses that I had when I was younger, I think like in my household of origin, like actually arts and letters and like being a fine, like an artist, but like of the mind were highly valued. So I maybe like, and it's no, I mean, this isn't actually anything from my parents. I think it was just something I kind of internalized, like, you know, the softer skills, but like the softer skills were maybe not as valued. So it's been a fun journey working with Kara to like kind of reclaim some of my interest in like wanting to tend my home or bake or things that I kind of like hid under the rug being like a city dweller for a lot of my life. Yeah, it's so interesting too, Kara, because I feel like the skills that you developed in such a strong way through becoming a lawyer have folded so beautifully and interestingly into the work that you do now. And it's like, do you feel like it's like there's kind of no accidents on the path? Like you developed this incredible skill set and now you apply it like legal skills to questioning aspects of society that maybe aren't reflective of truth, and helping us like with that wisdom get back into center. So yeah, I'll let you speak to that a little bit, but I'm curious.
Yeah, actually, I actually really appreciate my legal training. I think it has served me well and it actually plays out a lot in what I currently do. And yeah, I think, you know, there were times in my life when I was like, why did I do all this? Why did I, you know, have all those years of really being so unhappy and doing all these things I didn't want to do? But, you know, the point I'm at now where I'm just like, I'm really at peace with all of it. And I feel like it was all this really meaningful journey that I went on. And I appreciate it. And not only do I appreciate it, but I'm taking those things that I learned and I'm utilizing them now. So yeah, I don't have like regrets or anything. It did though, the desire to be an attorney though, it did come from an untruthful place. There is skill sets that I have from my gift and talents that actually lended themselves very well to being an attorney, which is why I did have success at it. And so, you know, it's not like it was totally out of the realm of like where my gifts and talents lie, but it wasn't like the clear kind of utilization of them. Like, I'm actually very interested in the law, but I'm interested in universal laws. I'm not actually interested in the laws that we have created as a society, right? And so it's an interesting story when you look back at it. And yeah, it was a path that I, you know, went down. And again, like I appreciate it. Utilize those skills and see too how there is some of like my gifts and talents were certainly used in that profession. It was just like I was using them in this field that I wasn't actually that interested in. But I'm actually very, very, like I talk all the time in my work about universal law. That's like, right? Like, I mean, you know, I talk about that a lot. And so it's like, I'm actually very interested in the law, just different type of law.
Okay, so let's talk about what your work is, because actually I've met so many coaches and healers and spiritual practitioners and wellness practitioners, and I'm sure you're not completely unique, and yet I've never met anyone who does what you do. So do you want to tell us now, okay, so you went to Duke and you were a litigator and you were in corporate law. I always wondered and never asked, okay, course you were in corporate law. That does not seem quite right, right? So what do you do now, Kara? And how did you fall into / create this more aligned business life for yourself?
Yeah. So now I have, what I do is I work with clients. I have programs that I have developed to help people basically be and express what I call the truth of who they are. So let me add some more details to that. So when I left the practice of law, I ended up on this journey where I wanted to know, can I have a different experience of life? And that journey that took me a number of years. There I had a number of very dark moments, things like my health got like all sorts, like all the bad things, like my health got worse, like all these things kind of transpired. But I kept going and I kept training in different modalities, taking different programs, trying different things. And I did consider at one point going back to the practice of law because I felt like nothing was working and I decided to stay the course. And so what I ended up learning through this experience was I actually can have a different experience of life. There's actually something very different that exists for me. And so once I started to realize this, and then I started to understand, like, what does it take to have that? What does it take to actually experience that? So ultimately what happened was I transformed every single area of my life. Now, there's not a single area that I did not transform. Like I said, I had a number of health issues. They were classified as chronic things. Some of the things I had since second grade, all of them healed completely on my own, no medical intervention, right? And I transformed my relationship with my husband. I transformed, most importantly, my relationship with myself. And so I started to realize, like, oh my goodness, I can have a different experience. And here's how I do it, right? And so then I just started to wonder if I express these things to other people, if I share these things with other people, what would happen? And then I realized, oh, actually, they can have a different experience too, right? So, and then it's not just that we can have a different experience. So all those years that I felt like I was in this kind of turmoil, kind of stuck, kind of spinning my wheels, things weren't getting better, right? So it's like, there's one thing. It's like, can we have a different experience? And I started to realize, yes, we can. But then I had this other question. What's the efficient and effective path to that? Because there are efficient and effective paths. Like if we think about okay, I want to get from New York City to San Francisco, there are more efficient paths than others, right? And so then I started to really hone in on what is not only effective, but what's efficient? What's going to stop me from spinning my wheels and kind of being in this turmoil for so long? Because I really don't believe that we're here to just be in kind of states of confusion, be trying and trying and trying, and then still suffering or not getting results. And in fact, some of the practitioners that I saw when I was on my own journey, I had said to them, I need help now. I am suffering. I am unhappy. I need something to change in my life now. And the response was, this is just what life is. You're going to be on this journey for the rest of your life. Right. And so that did not fly with me. It really didn't. I was like, no, that cannot be. And yes, do I think that it ends? Do I think that we leave? No, yes, we keep going on this journey. But here's the thing. It's like, there's this experience we can have where we're suffering and we're sick and we're in pain, right? And it's like, we want to get out of that. But then there's another level experience where now you're starting to ask, how good can I feel? How good can life get? That's where I want people asking. That's the thing that I want people going towards, right? So it's like, and what are the efficient and effective paths to this? And so it's like, I had this kind of twofold. One, can this be done? Yes, it can. Okay. Now, what are the efficient and effective paths? And it's it's from that really that what I currently do really has been like, it was birthed out of that. This wasn't some plan that I had. This has surprised and delighted even me. I didn't see this coming, but it's from my own journey and my own experiences that I then created these programs that I now work with people in. And of course, the more that I've had the opportunity to work with people, the more I've seen like, oh, okay, this doesn't just work for me. It works for others. And two, I've talked about this before, but in the work that I do, what I'm ultimately dealing with is universal law. We do have laws that govern this experience. Those are what I'm working with in my programs.
Where does universal law come from?
So this experience is governed by universal law. Like, it's not random. It's not chaotic. There are universal laws that govern this experience. They're fair. They're just. They're practical. They're actually simple. And they apply to everyone and everything. But again, it's high level. So I'm distinguishing universal law from like a person's individual truth, right? There's a difference. Universal law it's more high level looking. But if people just look at this experience, they can see it's not random. It's not chaotic, right? There is something that is governing this particular experience. And like, if we look at like the law of karma, that's a universal law. And most people don't actually understand what that law is, but that's a universal law, right? And so we do have these things that govern everyone and everything in this experience. And when you understand those, now you can operate in alignment with those, and your experience really, it does change. It's transformative to understand.
I mean, you know, I agree, but before we go forward, can we talk about what the universal law of karma, like what it actually means versus like what people think it is? Because I think this is like a good distinction that we should lay out there for our listeners.
Yeah. So most people, when they talk about karma, they'll say things like, oh, karma's such a bitch, right? Like, that's like a common, like, you know, kind of saying, right? And it's not. Karma is fair and it's just, and we want it. And all karma is when you take action that's consistent with the truth of who you are, you get a result that feels good to you. And when you take action that is inconsistent with the truth of who you are, you get a result, but that result's not going to feel good to you. And so that's really what karma is. It's quite simple. It's quite fair. It's quite practical. And now I'm talking about like, it feels good to you versus it doesn't feel good to you. There's some finer distinctions that we can make there in terms of what that means, but it's actually quite simple. I mean, like, you be and express the truth of who you are, you're going to get results. You're going to have experiences. You're going to be on frequencies, right, that feel good to you. And when you don't, then you will be on different frequencies. And it's okay. There's no judgment. There's no right. There's no wrong. In this experience, we get to choose what it is that we want to experience. We're very powerful beings.
Love it.
Thank you, Kara. Okay. So I want to, like, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and say the first time Dawn and I worked with you is we got readings that you do, manifesting blueprint. And just to like kind of ask how you help people know the truth of who they are. So yeah, can you explain a little bit about the manifesting blueprint and how you help people understand their own gifts and talents and how they can make choices that are aligned with the truth of who they are?
Yeah. So the manifesting blueprint, that's a reading that I do. And so let me just like back up just a little bit. So how this experience, like how we're structured, is we have a fundamental nature. People think, and I thought this when I was a child, and it's like we ask kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? It's like the programming and the messaging is you're here to become something. That is actually untrue. You're not here to become something. You already are it. You're here to express and experience that. So we come into this experience with gifts and talents. Like, at a soul level, we come into this experience with gifts and talents. We don't come in as blank slates. And then we also come in with ways that we as unique individuals are structured to thrive. And so the gifts and talents, these are like the who we are. And then the seven ways we're structured to thrive, it's like the how. Okay, so these are our gifts and talents. This is who we are. And then it's like, how do we express these gifts and talents? And so we come in with this structure. We come in with such great knowing, such like geniusness. Like, and you even like, we can see that like when we watch like these programs where they, I love programs where they have little kids doing things like cooking against chefs who've cooked. I'm watching the show, these little kids cook against chefs who've like been chefs for like 20 years, right? And they're just like blowing them out of the water, right? And it's like, what's going on there? It's like, you think some kids are just talented and some aren't. No, we all are. We all have gifts and talents. We all come in with them. We're here to express and experience those. And so now, like in truth, do you innately know your gifts and talents and how you're structured to thrive? Certainly. Of course you do. It's who you are. But the issue is, in this experience, the terminology I like to use, it's like we've been hidden from ourselves. Right? There's collective consciousness beliefs. There's programming. There's all these things going on. So it's like the you of you is there, but it's been hidden. And so what the manifesting blueprint does is it lays out with precision and with clarity your gifts and talents and how you're structured to thrive. And it does it with such precision that there's actually percentages and numbers that are used. That's how precise it is. And I love this so much because, again, this is one of those like, what's the efficient and effective path? And to me, the manifesting blueprint, so incredibly efficient and effective because it just lays out in one reading your gifts and talents and like your structure down to like little percentages. It lays everything out and then it lays out the 7 ways you're structured to thrive. And so I love this because to me, it is like the fast track to being like, this is who I am. Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to start living from that place and I can let, and as I live from that place, this programming that I've been under, it's going to start to fall because it's not actually who you are. And so, yeah. And so that's how we all three came together with doing that reading. Yeah. And I love that reading as I do that in my program. And I also do it with people individually separate from the programs. And a lot of times people do the reading and then they join the program because it's a great way to see like, wow, there are actually efficient and effective ways to be and express the truth of who I am. And the truth of who I am, it's there, it exists and it's always been there. And a lot of people too, when they get their blueprint, it's like, sometimes they're surprised and other times like, oh yeah, like I've always known that, but like I wasn't owning that or expressing that.
Love it. And it's something that's, you know, I think really in integrity with you as a business owner and a space holder for others, because it's, you've developed a system that is thinking like, what do people need? What's the most effective way for them to get this information and to work through it? And actually, I'd love to hear a little bit about how you developed this as a program or how you refined it through working with people for other softpreneurs out there, like kind of figuring out how to string their offer.
The program really was, so I'm a process person. So that's one of the things that we go through in like the manifesting blueprint. So I'm very focused on process. So the programs, actually, I didn't have some like goal in mind for these programs. I didn't have some goal in mind for my business. I didn't even really know I had a business, quite frankly. What I did was I focused on what is it that I like to do? Like what's in alignment with me and what feels good to me? And it was like, I had this information and then it was like, okay, I have this information. It works for me. Is there a way, like, you know, it works for others? And then it was like, well, what is it that I enjoy doing? And what is it that, like, what processes do I enjoy? And I really enjoyed writing like these understandings that I like came to. I enjoyed recording them. I enjoyed putting them in a format that, again, was like, it was like an enjoyment of the process of putting this program together, but it's like it unfolded as I was doing it. I didn't have this outcome or this plan. It unfolded as I was doing it. But then there was this in the background of that. What is it that for me as an attorney who is billing in 6-minute increments, what is it that would have worked for me? What is it that I could have done? Because one of the things too that I had in that experience is that I was working as much as I could with all sorts of different practitioners. And one of the things that I got from them time and time again was like, I can't meet with you on this day, or you need to, like, it was like all these things. Like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to do that. like, or read this, do this. Like, I don't have time for that either. Right. So what is it that I could do? Like, so there was this kind of background of what is it that would have really helped me in that situation? Because I know I'm not the only one in it. And then from that, it was like, what are the processes that I enjoy? I enjoy writing this down in very specific types of formats. I enjoy recording it. What else do I enjoy? I really enjoy working with clients one-on-one. I really enjoy this. And then as I'm in those processes and I'm watching them unfold, then I'm starting to see, oh, these are effective. These are efficient. These are the things that move the dial. So it developed really organically. Again, I didn't have some plan for this, but that is very much in alignment with my structure too.
I love that. That's such a great example of how one of the aspects of your structure. Kara just did an event in our community about the 7 ways we're structured to thrive. And one of them was, are you process oriented or are you outcome oriented? And that's such a great example of Kara, you being process oriented and trusting the process. And it's so funny because I have learned that I'm process oriented and I always ask people process questions, or I'm always like obsessed with wanting to hear people's process. So that tracks. And Dawn is outcome oriented. And it's been really cool to know for us, I think, to have that information and to know how, like, one of us being process oriented and one of us being outcome oriented can create a really cool balance in how we co-create.
So I don't know if this is outcome oriented, but I would love to hear you speak a little bit more of the innate gifts and talents that we come into this world with. And I will also agree that, like, when I had my manifesting blueprint with you, I was like, yeah, this all makes sense. Like, both that this is how I'm structured and that this might be my primary gift. And also, like, the parts where I wasn't acting in such a way to be in alignment with the way I'm structured, I'm like, yeah, I feel that too, right? But I don't know. I don't know that I'm asking for a list of all the gifts, but maybe I am. Can we talk about some of those gifts that we all come in with? Because I'd love to hear more about them.
The first thing to really understand with gifts and talents. So what we're talking about with gifts and talents. So I'm sure, like, most people in your community are in the space of, like, you have infinite energy available to you. Like, most people in your community understand that. I didn't understand that as an attorney, right? But most people in your community get that, right? And so that's accurate. We all have infinite energy available to us. But again, this is where I'm going back to universal law. This is why this matters. Yes, we all have infinite energy available to us, but we have our own plugs. And so your gifts and talents, what those actually are is how you are structured to receive energy. And when you're expressing those gifts and talents, when you're owning those gifts and talents, you're plugged in. And so this is where people can step into states of true abundance by utilizing their gifts and talents. And so, like, for instance, as an attorney, I had what our society would deem success. And I did make what a lot of people would consider a lot of money. Was I in a state of abundance? Definitely not. Not even close, right? And this is what we're generally taught in this experience, which is I'm going to put out all of this hard work, sacrifice, deplete myself, and in return, I will get something. I will get money, right? But if we look at the balance of things, when I was an attorney, the hard work, the sacrifice, how depleted I was to get that money, in the scheme of things, did I even break even? And I would say I didn't. I would say I lost, right? And so the difference is when you're utilizing your gifts and talents, fully owning them and expressing them. Now, as I said, as an attorney, there was a level of my gifts and talents that was utilized, but it was like a very small percentage in terms of what I could actually utilize, right? So it's like I was getting some energy, but not the full, like really the full amount of energy. So when you're fully, like, owning and utilizing your gifts and talents, what happens is, sure, you take action. We live in an action-based experience. But what happens is I'm taking action, I'm putting that out into the world, and I'm energized by it. That includes money, but it's not just money. And so that's what happens when you're expressing your gifts and talents. You're taking action, you're putting out action into the world. You're energized by that action versus I'm going to take this action and be depleted by it and get money in return. So now you can step into states of true abundance and experience true abundance, which in our society, really, again, we're not after, in most instances, abundance. We're after, like, we want some money and we don't care, like, whatever it takes to get it, right? And so this is why understanding gifts and talents is, it's such a game-changing thing. And the other thing about gifts and talents is it's like if you took your soul and put it in a pie chart, what we look at in the reading is what percentage, what are the gifts and talents you have and what percentage do they comprise? So like, do you have one set of gifts and talents that's comprising 45%? Meaning you're getting 45% of your energy from one set of gifts and talents. If you're getting 45% of your energy, or you're structured to get 45% of your energy from one set of gifts and talents, like you want to get that energy, right? And what happens is when people come to me and get the reading, it's like you'll be fundamentally structured to receive 45% of your energy from one set of gifts and talents. They'll be receiving like 5%. Right. And then it's like, well, it's like, okay. So like in our experience, what we're having is people are being like, it's normal to be tired and depleted and sick. It's like, no, this is not our fundamental nature. What's happening is you're not getting all the energy that's available to you because you're not fully utilizing your gifts and talents, meaning you're not fully expressing the truth of who you are. And so that's really like kind of based on what we're looking at when we're looking at gifts and talents. And then, of course, there's a number of different gifts and talents that you can have. And there's, you know, everyone's pie chart in a sense is different, right? Different percentages, right? And so, yeah.
Yay. I love that because actually what I wanted you to speak about was abundance because you have such a different way of speaking about abundance. So thank you. And maybe I'm going to try and paraphrase it, which is that maybe I'm not. Let's see. Abundance, according to like natural law, is receiving energy when you're putting effort out, right? And it yes, some of that is money because you need money in this world in order to like eat, etc. But it's also, and actually, I'm going to say like I started this podcast recording kind of feeling tired. And that's why I was like, let's do a little breath work. You know, it's Monday morning. What are we doing with so many calls on a Monday morning? And now I feel energized. And like my like primary gift is like divine wisdom. So even just being in the like presence of divine wisdom coming out makes me excited and energized and would explain like why I loved university and reading philosophy where other people would be like, oh my God, this is so boring. I'm exhausted. I was like, oh my God, I read Machiavelli and I think I actually understood it. Like I'm going to go for a run now or something like that. And so I think I was just looking back on my notes from our first call and I'm like structured to receive 52% of my energy from it. And I was receiving 8% at that time. And, you know, I was like exhausted, getting close to burnout, to be perfectly honest. And I wouldn't say I'm doing less now, but things like being on this podcast or our like group business coaching program, the Holistic Business Society, or even like the one-on-one work that that we do with people, it's like more energizing to me, although I love writing launches and websites and that sort of thing. It's like more fun and energizing to like distill someone's essence into a brand strategy or like teach a class on anything than it is for me to like, even though I love writing, like write marketing copy. So thank you for that. That's been really helpful in terms of like knowing what choices to make when it comes to like what we're creating, like for myself or what I'm creating. Can we talk? So I'm going to talk about these are the divine gifts that I know of, which is divine wisdom, divine order, divine power. What else do we got that you could come into this world with?
Yeah, we'll talk about one of Elisa's gifts and yours too, really. It's just in a smaller percentage, but divine communication. Yeah. And so, well, first of all, I just want to say, I love that you recognize, right? This energizes you. And so divine wisdom is my second most predominant set of gifts and talents. I was a philosophy major, right? Like, you know what I mean? And so it's like these things, like we can kind of see kind of threads of these things. And still now, like that's anything around that just totally energizes me. It like wakes me up. It enlivens me. And it's the same for you. And I just think that was such a beautiful example. And it's not just like, oh, I do this thing and then I get so tired. Like, okay, you might have come on feeling kind of tired. Now you're energized. Why? It's like you're just taking in that energy and receiving it fully as you're expressing this. So Yeah, I think that's a great example. Yeah, so there's a number of gifts and talents. And so we'll just talk about like one more of them. So we talked about divine wisdom. Both of you have divine communication. And so divine communication, there's quite a bit to each of these sets of gifts and talents. There's quite a bit of depth to them. But divine communication, it is the ability to communicate. And so people with divine communication, they are good writers. They are good speakers. It's the realm of the teacher. What I see with people with divine communication is a lot of times they will be using it like they're writing or they're speaking, but they're not fully utilizing it. And so what does it mean to fully utilize that gift? It's actually communication from an authentic place. So it's like these people with divine communication, like they'll know how to write, they'll know how to speak. A lot of times they're doing that. But are they speaking from this most authentic place? That's the key to really expressing divine communication. I'm going to express from this most authentic place, this place of my own experience. And so too, what I see with people with divine communication, a lot of times they're not expressing for numerous reasons, one of which they're afraid. If I really express myself, what would happen? What would people say, right? And so too, it's really stepping into and utilizing, like I'm going to express this most authentic, like what I really know and believe and feel. That's really owning divine communication. That's just a snippet about it. But too, with these gifts and talents, there's polarities to them. So there's a lot of depth to these because we're on a polarity planet. And so as you have gifts and talents, there's also a polarity expression of those gifts and talents. And then the other thing too, it matters how you're structured. So like for each of you, you're more in like the lower percentages with divine communication. And so Dawn, it makes complete sense. Like you can write. You 100% know how to write. I have seen your writing. You can write, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, are you going to love to write as much as like expressing like in the ways that you probably not, because it's a smaller percentage where we're dealing like with divine wisdom for you is like pretty high, like that's 52%. And so that example that you gave was so, so good, right? Now, other people without divine communication, many times like they're not going to be good writers. Like it's not going to be their thing. They're not going to be able to do it, right? And so, yeah, so there's some depth to these. And there's something else too. Dawn, I don't know if you and I have talked about this. I think Elisa, you and I have. But, you know, this is like, we are such powerful beings in truth. And this is why it really matters to me that we be and express the truth of who we are. And most people are setting such a low bar for themselves, really. They're setting such a low bar. Even when they think it's a high bar, it's a low bar in terms of what's actually available to you. So here's the thing about gifts and talents, and this is really cool. So you come into this experience with gifts and talents. These are soul level gifts and talents. You've always had them. Obviously, we have different sets of gifts and talents, right? We're not all structured the same. But if you come into this experience and there is something that you are really called to do and you are committed to it, and that doing that would benefit from another set of gifts and talents, you can actually get another set. It's really interesting. And so what I have to offer is it's like we are structured a certain way, but it's in no way, shape, or form any sort of limitation. We are not limited. Like we are so incredibly powerful. And the gifts and talents that we hold are beautiful. And when we express them, we step into abundance. And if you want to go even further and have more, like you can. Like it's really a fascinating thing. And it's really fascinating how, you know, we're taught that it's like, again, like I thought I had to become something. It's like, no, I already was it.
Okay. This makes me so happy because I think it brings us into what I think would be like fun to speak about as one of the last parts, which is you said, if you feel the call to do something, you can like birth a whole new set of gifts and talents basically inside of yourself. And Kara's got a couple programs right now. And the first one is really about the call. And yeah, as I listen to it, I'm like, yes, of course. That makes so much sense. You know, as I want to say, like, it's almost like your program is structured in aphorisms almost, right? It's like short little like bites of universal intelligence. And I would just love to talk for as long or as short as you like. And I think Elisa has something to ask of you as well. But what is the call of our soul and how, like, it feels like you know, I wanted to be a figure skater. That might have been a bit of a call of my soul. Like, I certainly probably not, I don't have the gifts and talents for it, but something about expressing, you know, beauty and movement, that really was a call of my soul. I did dance for a long time. I wanted to be a fashion designer afterwards. And it feels like I stopped being able to hear it anymore at some point in my adolescence. So I just wonder if you want to speak a little bit about the call and what that is and what it might sound like for people, because I think a lot of the time we hear it and then we say, oh no, that's silly.
Yeah. So what I came to on this whole journey that I was on was that we hold within us great knowing, and we do know the next step for us. We are guided all day, every day by us. And so it was like, I initially, like, it's like, you know, prior to going on this whole kind of journey that I went on, like, I would have truly been like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, like, what are you talking about? Like, what guides my actions are the next, you know, should, need, and have to, or what other people are saying to do, or what the experts are saying, right? My life had never been structured based upon, oh, this is something that I feel this internal knowing and calling toward. I did not believe I held any sort of internal knowing whatsoever. And then what I realized is, no, actually I do. I hold within me great knowing. We all do. And we are all guided. And we know the path for us. We know the next step for us. And we are the ones that know it. We are the ones that know it, not someone else and not something outside of us. And so it's like, too, I was, after I left my job, you know, I was taking all these programs, listening to all these teachers, and they would say things like, follow your inspiration, or, you know, your instincts, or something like that, right? And the problem with this is, yes, like, you hold within you great knowing, you are guided all day, every day. This is what I call the call. This is the terminology that I like to use. I know other people use it as well. I define it in a specific way, but in any event, and it's like, okay, so you're guided, right? And so you're like, woohoo, I'm guided, right? I'm just going to, like, and then they'll go and do something, and then the result will not be good, or something will happen, right? And they're like, you know what? I can't trust myself, right? Or they'll think they're guided just towards things that are like, you know, to keep them safe, right? Like, you have this instinct not to walk down the street, right? It's not like you're guided all day, every day in everything you do. And so, and then people told me this too. It's like, oh, you've got this, like, you know, inspiration or whatever. And it's like, that's accurate. But we've got to look at where we're at. And where we're at is that most of us, we're not living and being in the truth of who we are. Again, it's been hidden from us. We've got programming. We've got collective consciousness beliefs. We've got emotions that are clogging and congesting things, right? So it's like, we got to be clear on what exactly is this internal guidance that we hold? What exactly is this knowing that we hold? And more importantly, what isn't it? And it actually really matters what it isn't, because it's natural to us. It's actually our fundamental nature. It matters what it isn't, because of all, like, we've got to look at, like, where's the hiding? Where's the programming? What's going on there, right? And so what we want to do is, we want to be really clear on what is this knowing, what is this guiding, and what is it not? What is a subconscious belief in programming? What's a collective consciousness belief programming? What's just a response to some, like, trauma, or like, what's just clogged and congested emotions, right? Want to get really clear on all of this, because the problem is that if you just tell somebody, oh, you're guided, right? And they're like, okay, I'm just like going to go do stuff. And then it's just not going to work out. And then they're not going to, one, they're going to probably not trust themselves, or they're going to think they're not guided, or they're going to think, I'm only guided maybe in this, like, I'm inspired to make this work of art. No, you're guided all day, every day. You're guided all day, every day. Like, I wake up in the morning, it's like, what am I called to, right? Like, that's how I live my life. And so it's really, really matters to cut through and get clear on what is your calling and what isn't. And it really matters that you have that clarity, so that, one, you hear it, and two, you trust it, and three, you follow it. Because here's the other thing that we're having in this experience is, like, people get these intellectual understandings, right? And they think, I have an intellectual understanding, now I'm good and my life is going to change. And it's not going to change. Why? We're in a physical experience. So in the physical experience, you have to have the intellectual understanding and awareness first, but it's a piece. It's a piece of it. And a lot of times people are confusing that. It's like, I have this intellectual understanding, but you know, my life is kind of still the same. And I don't understand why this must not be true. I'll just go back to what I've been doing or whatever. It's like, no, now we have to understand, you understand intellectually what the call is. And now how do you put it into action? How do you live it? How do you breathe it? And that's different. And that takes something in this experience. And like, we just got to kind of be real about where we're at, right? We just kind of be real about like what the experience that we're in. And the experience that we're in is like, I would say we're hidden from ourselves. I would say it even more accurately, it's deep hiding. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't effective and efficient ways to get out of that and have a different experience. But again, it's like, you got to know where you are to understand, like, right? It's like, I got to understand I'm in New York City. If I want to get to San Francisco, like, I got to know where I am first, right? And so that's really like the how I approach that and how I work with it. One, understand it. Two, live it and breathe it. And those are two separate things.
I really love your work, the effect that it has on us as entrepreneurs in terms of taking action, because I think you have a really particular view at like what inspired or aligned action, how that can shift us. And so is there anything you'd like to say about action taking for our softpreneur listeners that might give them a little bit of a little dose of inspiration or motivation from how you see it?
Yeah. So that's a great question, because in this experience, like I just talked about taking action and how that matters. And I think most of them are like, yeah, of course, like you gotta take some action, right? But you're right, Elisa. It's we want to take action that's in alignment with what we're called to. And another way to look at that is we want to take action that's in alignment with the frequencies that we want to be on, that we want to operate on. And I would say the frequencies that are expressive of the truth of who we are. And so when we're looking at action, so one of the things that like most people are taught, and I was too, is like, we really honor this, like work hard, right? Work hard, right? How do you get this thing you want? You work hard. You sacrifice yourself. You do whatever it takes, like blood, sweat, and tears, right? Those are the actions that you take to get a specific result. And so here's the thing, like we got to be clear on what are those actions though? Pull back, look at universal law. What are those actions actually doing? So when I was trying to become an attorney, I worked really, 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 really hard, right? Only to become an attorney and work harder than I ever knew I could work. And that's the truth. I worked harder than I ever knew I could work once I became an attorney. I did not know how hard I could work until I became an attorney. And I thought it was like high school, college, law school. They all got harder, only to become an attorney even harder. Why? Because what I was doing was I was taking action from a place of hard work. Hard work's a frequency. Hard work's a frequency, right? So I'm taking action of hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, frequency. So people are like, okay, I want to become an attorney, or let's put it in the terms of a successful business. I want to have a successful business as an entrepreneur, as a softpreneur. I want to have a successful business. Why do you want to have a successful business? Feels like freedom. Feels like fun, right? Okay, great. So if you keep working hard, these are frequencies. You're on the frequency of hard work. Frequency of freedom is here. Frequency of fun is here. Like, how do you think you're going to get there? It's not going to happen. You're going to stay on that frequency of hard work. And so it's a matter of understanding, okay, if I'm in a business and I want success. Why do I want it? It feels free. It feels fun. Okay. You cannot keep doing this thing called hard work and think you're going to get there. It's not going to happen. It defies universal law, which is why as an attorney, again, like I just kept working hard, working hard, working hard, working hard with this, like, there's going to be this pot of, you know, I was told like there's this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Once you become an attorney and you're making all this money, then, right? No, never happened. And it was never going to happen. It couldn't. And so it's really about understanding, like, look at the actions you're taking. Are they in alignment with, one, the truth of who you are? Are they in alignment, too? The other way you look at it, are they in alignment with the frequencies that I'm wanting, the experiences that I'm actually wanting?
I love it. That is so helpful and so much a distillation of this thing that I feel and know and say in business a lot, which is like, if you are feeding all these hungry ghosts now or on this hamster wheel or constantly in burnout and constantly in hustle culture, like that's what the fabric of your business today is. So if you're doing that so you can have more ease in the future, like you're going to have to disentangle that at some point, because that, if that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well stated. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, as you know, we could talk to you forever, every single week for at least an hour and a half each. And two things. First off, if it's cool with you, we'll put the link to the 7 ways that you're structured to thrive chat that we had with you in here. So if you want to sign up, y'all, to learn more about the, like, when Kara said, you know, I'm a variable person, or like, for example, me and Elise are both similarities. There are 7 different ways, and there's like, I guess, 14 really on a spectrum of ways that you can be to be more in alignment with yourself. And so we will put that in the show notes, and you can get the replay of it. And then, the second thing is just, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners before we go?
I don't think so. I would, you know, I love your community. I love that we have come together. I love that you're doing this podcast, and I know that it's going to be attracting people who are just totally in alignment with it. And so I would, you know, I do offer complimentary calls for people. So if they want to explore further the work I do, like my programs, that doing a reading is a great like way to kind of have a little experience of what I do. It's not little, they're actually really powerful, but it's like I'm looking for effective and efficient things. So if you want to go further, you know, I have programs, but I would love to connect with people in your community. Again, anyone who's listening to this, I feel like we're likely very aligned. And so I offer complimentary calls. People can sign up for those on my website, explore further what I do. But I just deeply appreciate both of you. And I'm just so happy to get to be here today. And I'm so happy that you're doing this beautiful podcast.
Yay. Well, thank you so much. That was going to be my last question. Where's the best place for people to find you? So we'll pop your complimentary call link as well into the show notes. So if you want to find lovely Kara, that's your best place. I think she posts on Instagram once every 3 months or something when she feels like it. But there are some like beautiful, like some of your aphorisms are there too. So we'll also have a link to that. And yeah, thanks so much for being here. And thanks so much for all the support that you bring into our life. It really has been, I visited my second hometown recently, and I was talking about the work we've been doing together, and a couple of my oldest friends, both because they're like, you know, like boomers, not Gen Z. I'm a zillennial or whatever. They were both and spiritual like teachers for me. They were both like, wow, you seem really excited about this lady. So I'm very excited about you and the work that you're doing. And so glad that we get to share you with our people. So thank you so much.
And thank you for the inspiration helping us parse that doing this podcast was and is the call for us. So success in action. Thank you so much. So grateful.
Yay. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.